Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. This has been a great week of lessons, and we've learned a lot about fallen angels. It's important that we understand what Satan is trying to do and what God's plan is to thwart Satan. We also need to understand what our part in this battle is. So join us now as Tom Murray continues this important study.
Well, welcome back to the Lay Disciple Bible Study in the Fallen Angels, or what we often call demons. Last time we were dealing with verse 2 of the Genesis chapter 6 passages when the sons of God went into the daughters of men, and I explained to you why the term sons of God could not refer to humans. It had to refer to angels. And I told you that we would begin today with the second key expression in verse 2, and that is the daughters of women, or the daughters of men. Now, the daughters of men is also a generic term, and it includes all females of humankind. And so, therefore, this term, daughters of men, would refer to both Sethite daughters as well as Cainite daughters. So if that is the case, which it is, what the verse is actually saying is that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So there's no justification in this particular verse for anyone to come up with the interpretation to mean that godly males intermarried with ungodly females. That simply is not taught. Because one question is, would truly godly men ever marry ungodly females? So the daughters of men in chapter 6, verse 2 simply means womankind, and the sons of God simply means the angels. Now, if the meaning of these two terms is kept consistent, particularly the meaning of the term sons of God with the way it is used everywhere else in the Old Testament, the passage is clearly literally teaching that fallen angels intermarried with human women. Now, that's very obvious for two specific reasons. First of all, it is always a one-way marriage that is spoken of. It is always the sons of God marrying the daughters of men. There is no biblical record of daughters of God marrying sons of men. If the distinction, as some people try to teach here, is between Sethites and Cainites, it would simply mean that this could not possibly happen because here you have one-way marriages, sons going into daughters only. In human society, intermarriage occurs both ways. That is, today, saved males sometimes marry unsaved females. And sometimes saved females will marry unsaved males. Now, if the other teaching is true, that this is the Cainites and Sethites, it would mean, if you want to apply that interpretation, which is not correct, it would mean that male Sethites married female Cainites, but male Cainites never married female Sethites, which is entirely unlikely. It isn't that way in any human culture. Intermarriage, if you take that wrong interpretation, would be confined then to godly men marrying ungodly women, but not godly women marrying ungodly men. But in Genesis 6, we're told that there is only a one-way intermarriage. That is, the sons of God, angels, fallen angels, intermarrying with the daughters of men. Now, the second point I'll make in this regard is that the context where this verse is found clearly speaks of a cohabitation that is unusual, and it's unnatural, because it is what results in a worldwide flood judgment. The fact that men and women intermarry if they are humans would not be the reason to cause a flood. verses 1 to 4 of Genesis 6 deal with the angelic cause of the worldwide flood that came on the earth, and then verses 5 and 6 of Genesis 6 deal with the human cause for why the flood came on the earth. But the context in Genesis 6 speaks of a cohabitation that is unusual and unnatural and results in a tremendous judgment upon both these fallen angels and fallen humans. Cohabitation between simply Sethites and Cainites would not be unnatural and they would not be unusual. But a cohabitation or intermarrying between fallen angels and human women would be. Those who do not like to teach that Genesis 6, 1 to 4 refers to fallen angels co-inhabiting with mortal Gentile women like to go over in the New Testament to the book of Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30, and they like to quote that verse that says that angels are sexless. Jesus himself said in Matthew 22:30, "For in the resurrection," that is, those who are in the resurrection, "they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels in heaven." Now, what Jesus said in that passage is that human beings in their glorified, resurrected bodies in heaven will not marry, nor will they be given in marriage. Now, the angels that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 22:30 are the angels in heaven, which are the holy or the unfallen angels. So the comparison that they're trying to make is not the comparison Jesus is making. The comparison that Jesus is making is not with angels in general, that is, fallen angels. He is making a comparison with the angels in heaven. And the emphasis in Matthew 22:30 is upon in heaven. And there in heaven, good angels neither marry or are given in marriage. And Jesus makes the same point in Matthew 22:30 about glorified humans will neither marry nor give in marriage. But while humans in heaven will not marry, nor are they given in marriage, what about humans while they are living on the earth? Well, humans on the earth certainly do marry, and they are given in marriage. So this is a contrast between what happens in heaven as against what actually happens while humans are here on the earth. But in Genesis 6, unlike the Matthew 22:30 passage, in the Genesis 6 account here, it's speaking of angels that are on the earth, not in heaven. Now, angels in heaven do not marry, nor are they given in marriage. And humans, when they are once in heaven, will not marry or be given in marriage. But this goes on to say in Genesis 6, it talks about things that are happening on the earth. Angels are never declared to be sexless. In fact, every time angels are mentioned in the Bible, they are always mentioned as male gender, and they are never mentioned as female gender or even neuter gender, as I have told you. So Matthew 22:30 teaches that angels do not procreate after their kind, meaning that angels do not give birth to other angels. But angels are always described in your Bible in the masculine gender, not in the feminine. And they are always masculine gender in both the Old and the New Testament. Whenever angels appear in the Bible, they always appear as young men. So anytime an angel appeared to a person, he always appeared as a young man and never as a woman. look at cases like Genesis 18, 1 to 19, and then, Genesis 18, 1 through chapter 19, verse 22, and also in Mark 16, verses 5 to 7, to see that it is young males. You can also find it in Luke 24, verses 4 to 7, and then later in Acts 1, verses 10 to 11. So Matthew 22:30 cannot be used by, as some try, as an argument against the angelic interpretation of the sons of God in Genesis 6:1-4, because the Matthew passage is dealing with a situation in heaven, and the Genesis 6 passage is dealing with a situation on earth. And neither the Genesis 6 nor any other passage nor the Matthew 22:30 passage in the New Testament ever declare that angels are sexless. Now, another question that is often asked is, why did Satan have some of his fallen angels intermarry with human women? Why would he even bother to do that? The reason can be understood by investigating the greater context of the book of Genesis itself. Three chapters earlier, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the Lord made the first messianic prophecy about the coming Redeemer of mankind who would crush the serpent's head. Satan was present when God made this revelation to Adam and Eve, and Satan realized three chapters earlier that the seed of the woman, that is a human male, would be born that would one day crush his head. We stopped our program just a little bit early today so that I could remind you of our website, which is www.milktomeat.org. And I hope you'll visit us there because we are going to have our streaming audio where you will be able to access these radio programs in time and be able to listen again to what you've been hearing. We also make you aware of our resources where you can do studies in your home. I also want to encourage you to come to some of our Milk to Meat discipleship classes. We begin each September with our Phase 1, and that's where I recommend everyone begin. So I hope you'll call the office and talk to one of the girls, either Jeannie or Joyce, and they can give you all the information you need. I'd love to see you in class and to be a part of helping you grow to true spiritual maturity in Christ. Well, I'll see you in our next broadcast.
Thanks, Tom. Friend, we want to thank you for joining us today and hope that these lessons are blessing you and helping you mature in Christ. I hope you'll take a few minutes to visit our new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Also, if you're like me and have college students away from home, they can hear the radio programs too on the web. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call us toll-free at 866-685-3385. And we'll see you next time right here for The Lay Disciple.